I want to talk to you this morning about water. Water is one of the most important elements of life. It's impossible to live without water. We drink it, we bathe in it, we use it to clean our dishes, our clothes, our kids, and our dogs. We need it to live. Water's essential to life back in Southern California. Water was not as plentiful as it is here in the Midwest. The kids were commenting on how refreshing it was a week or two ago to actually have rain after missing it for over a year. Here in the Midwest, fresh water abounds. Being so close here to Lake Michigan and all of the wonderful small lakes of our state, we forget how precious this resource is. In fact, a human being can live for weeks without food, but only a few days without water. If we look back at history, we can see that oil was probably the most precious commodity of the last century. But water is the name of the game in the 21st century. There may be water everywhere, but only 7/10 of 1% of the world's fresh water is readily accessible for human consumption. It's tragic that most people in the world lack proper sanitation and safe drinking water. One of the wonderful things about the internet these days is you can Google anything. And that's what I did when I took a look at this verse. Do you realize that most Americans live on somewhere between 100 and 200 gallons of water per day? I have some friends now who are backpacking for 2 months through Africa. And I looked up that statistic, and the average individual in Africa lives on about 5 gallons of water per day. Clean water is diminishing in all sorts of developing and developed countries alike and will pose a huge problem in the coming decades. Do you realize that every 15 seconds a child somewhere in the world dies from a water-related disease? And that any given moment, 1/2 of the hospital beds in the world are occupied by patients suffering from water-related diseases. Water, clean and sanitized drinking water, is one of the rare commodities of our world today. As I was looking at these resources about water, I saw a picture. It was a painting of an old woman, and she was carrying a huge pot on her shoulder as she walks to the well. She's very tall and thin. She's wearing a bright dress of many different colors, and the artist intentionally blurred any of her facial features so that the viewer could imagine her being a woman in any country of the world, walking to water. When I first saw this painting, I thought of the woman at the well in today's lesson. I thought to myself, she's coming to fill up her pot with drinking water. In my mind's eye, just out of view in that picture, a man named Jesus speaks to her about giving him a cup of water. She speaks to him about a Messiah who's coming. And he talks with her of one who is here right now. He's telling her to fill up her pot with living water so that she'll never be thirsty again. Well, part of her is skeptical. How could someone give her a wellspring gushing over with life in the midst of her poverty, in the midst of her scarcity? Another part of her wants to fill up with this source of endless abundance, the living water of which Jesus speaks. When we hear this gospel story, we remember the inclusive and compassionate nature of Jesus. She was a woman, after all, he was talking to. but not only a woman, but a Samaritan woman and an outsider. And she was a woman who had been divorced numerous times. In the old Palestinian world, she was one of those three strikes and you're out people. But rather than pushing her away, Jesus invites her into a conversation. Now the Jesus of John's gospel responds to her with something deeper than simply compassion. He responds to her with something stronger than inclusiveness. Jesus trusts her with living water in response to her thirst. Now one poet calls it the wellspring of love within, the nourishing stream of peace and delight. Jesus reveals the life force of water to that woman at the well. How are we to understand this, though? It's a fact that most of us humans are made up of mostly water. You look at yourself in the mirror and you may see muscle and bone and maybe a little too much fat around the edges, but we're actually 65% water. You are living water. When Jesus tells the woman that he is the living water that she longs for in a very real way, not only metaphorically, he's telling her that he's present with her in her life. Present to her thirst. Present to her unnamed longings. Present to her poverty, both spiritual and actual. You see, to be present to another is sometimes all we can do. But it is a lot. We are called as Christians, as members of this fellowship, to be living water in a scorched and an arid world. We're called into practicing presence in a powerful and changing time. All we have to do is look at the newscast, pick up the newspaper, and see that there is rebellion and hatred in our world. There's continued warfare and killing. There are so many threats of civil war and so much political turmoil in places around the world, we wonder if the Cold War is starting again. As Christians, we have to ask ourselves, can we bring healing to those places of such unrest and turmoil? Is it possible for us to have any impact at all? We are living water. Our Lord has told us that. So instead of becoming dried up and hopeless ourselves, we embrace the healing stream of hope that runs through each one of us and that bubbles up from time to time in our lives. There's a line from a song that reads, "Let us be like drops of water in a mighty ocean." One of my favorite illustrations that I've used time and time again is the story of Robert Louis Stevenson as a boy looking out the window into the streets of Old England. And he was watching the lamplighter light the street lamps. And his mother said, "Robert, what are you doing?" And he said, "Mom, I'm watching the man poke holes in the darkness." That's what we're called to do. To poke holes in the darkness of this world. I want to be like that living water that Jesus describes, gushing up and over. I want to be that wellspring of joy and hope and faith. Not only for myself, but for all those who are hungry and thirsty in the world. You see, Jesus had living water in mind on that hot day in Sychar. A desire to be present to the aches of a life that was riddled with problems. He was there to reveal to this woman the possibilities of a different kind of hope. A different kind than she had ever known before. He was there to empower her, to embrace her faith, and to send her along the way to tell the story to others that had not heard. In a world where water is scarce and the poor are at risk every day because of it, how might we be living water to the world? Well, the first step is simply to pay attention. We must pay attention to the parched places of the world. It might be in Africa. It might be in Appalachia. It might be in that homeless man on the streets of Milwaukee. It may be in your own family. We ask ourselves, what needs to be watered in this world? And then it is to realize that God is revealed in the driest and most awful places. We meet God at the wells of the world, in the slums and on the streets. We meet God wherever people are looking for a cure for the problems of the world, for the waters of hope in the midst of poverty, for human connection in the struggles of war. That's where we find the living waters of God, alive and active. Well, we're about halfway through this season of Lent, a time to be mindful of what we can and cannot do in the world or for the world. But one thing we can do is we can stop the water crisis. We have that ability if we would, as a humankind, decide to do so. We could bring water to millions of villages that exist without running water. We can resolve to look at the waterfalls of goodness and privilege in our lives and resolve to bring the fullness of that goodness to others. Let me close with a little story. And it's probably happened hundreds of times in my ministry to me. It was a number of years ago, and I had a chance to visit a good friend. And this friend, he was about 93 at the time. And as I entered the room, he literally threw back his arms to greet me. "Friend," he said, "it's a joy to see you." And later on, he told me a story. He said, "One of my friends said the other day, it's hell to be getting old. But I don't think so. He said, I may not have much left, but I still have one virtue. And that's gratitude." I left that room feeling as if I had drunk from a cascading waterfall of the freshest water on earth. A waterfall of love and gratitude. I felt cleaned and healed and blessed all at once. My prayer is that we might be like drops of water falling in a mighty ocean. The living drop of water dries up when all alone. But in the ocean of love like this church, we will overcome. To the woman at the well, living water was offered. And she filled up on it. And she ran to tell others what had happened to her. I pray that as we approach Easter, it might be so for each one of us, too.